Woman is a feminist show about women making a difference and the men by their side. As 50% of the world's population and 53% of eligible U.S. voters, women are not a special interest group, and every woman should work and vote toward nothing less than 50-50 participation in the social, political, and economic, and environmental, and legal arenas. And also, the views and opinions expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of KKFI staff, management board, volunteers, or the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated.
Thank you so much, Sharon. And today our guest is Melvin Merritt, who is a native of Oakland, California, and moved to Kansas City in 1983. He has over 22 years impact with Kansas City metropolitan area through various programs such as Ad Hoc Against Crime, Witness Ministry, God's Wills Motorcycle Club, and Jaws of Justice broadcast on KKFI 90.1 FM. He is the founder of two organizations, Penny Mill Foundation and also Ground Level Ministries. He is the loving husband of Doris Merritt, as well as a proud father and grandfather. And Melvin is joining us today to talk about what I have termed the title for the show, Feminist Fears. But he has definitely pointed out that they are not fears, they are his concerns. We've already had some lively conversations today surrounding that, so we'll have an interesting show. But before we get into the conversation, we do have a bit of news, and so we'll go to news and then we'll jump in. President Obama announced that the U.S. will partner with private companies to send Americans to Mars by the 2030s, with the ultimate goal of being able to have extended stays on the planet. So for everyone thinking about moving to Canada, some more people are thinking about moving on to Mars, a whole new planet in general. Our thoughts and prayers to those dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Matthew, especially those in Haiti, the Carolinas, Georgia, and Florida. And we do have a feminist note from Barbara Einrich. Is that right, Sharon? Am I saying that?
Einrich?
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, close enough.
What we need is a tough new kind of feminism with no illusions. Women do not change institutions simply by assimilating into them. We need a feminism that teaches a woman to say no, not just to the date rapist or overly insistent boyfriend, but when necessary, to the military or corporate hierarchy within which she finds herself. We need a kind of feminism that aims not just to assimilate into the institutions that men have created over the centuries, but to infiltrate and subvert them. And with that, we will jump into our conversation for today.
I do have one comment on that trip to Mars, and I think a lot of people will appreciate that. My husband told me he would really love to be one of the first Mars colonists, and I said that would be so cool. I would tell everyone my first husband went to Mars.
Shut that conversation down. All right, Melvin, so we're going to get into, and ladies and gentlemen, we are opening up the phone lines so you can join in and weigh in on this conversation. The number is 816-931-5534, 816-931-5534. And I want to start out by saying, Melvin, we were at a KKFI meeting, and we talked, and you asked me about what show I was on, and I told you and said it was a feminist-based show, and we start talking about just feminism and then some of your concerns about women taking over, and there's an order to things and roles being played. And there are a lot of people who I know personally, and even some of my own older views used to be similar. So I'd like for you to share some of your thoughts and concerns and kind of what you said in conversation the other day, and even today, is you, Sharon, and I and your wife were talking.
Well, first let me say thank you, Ebony, for allowing me to come on to this show. And And I thought it was pretty interesting, especially when we started talking about the fact that my fears, which I don't have any of those types of fears. However, I have, like you mentioned, some concerns. And I think that during the opening, you talked about having women being 50-50. And I believe in that 50-50. However, some of my concern is that once the woman is up there in front, so to speak, with the 50-50, I believe that she would, or they would step forward and begin to usurp a certain amount of authority, which that whole atmosphere of that women reaching for their half, so to speak, and or reaching for the part that they deserve, which I'm all for that.
I hear you, but we want to respect each other and not cut in.
No, I'm respecting right now. No, this is respectful. I just want to bring something up here.
You can bring something up, but let him finish his point. That's what I mean by respectful. So just let him finish his statement, and then if you can say what you want to say. But I just want him to finish his statement. That's all.
Well, and I think what I was saying is that, you know, I believe that women should have their, you know, their equal, mm-hmm. especially with pay and all the other things that they're reaching for, to have the equal pay as it relate to women, you know, but the point I'm talking about, and with this part of this explosion from the beginning, and I saw it as way back when, during the time of Women Live. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was the Pandora box, if you will, that opened it up to the point where women are now moving into from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want it to seem or come across the air or anything else like I have a fear of women, mm-hmm. because I love women. I'm like James Brown, as I mentioned, that this is a man's world, but it wouldn't be anything without a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are somewhat my sentiment, you know, because of the fact that, as I mentioned earlier, that women... there's an order of things, mm-hmm. as relate to this universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that is a God-giving order.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a man type of order, but it's a God type of order.
So for some people that are listening, and I grew up just kind of with that belief, I don't carry the same belief that I used to, but I understand where you're coming from, because I did have the belief that... the man is the head of the household, and this is just what God said it is. And so, you know, that's why it's that way. However, I do believe it's interesting that interpretation also came from a male.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some people who are concerned about that, it is as if, why should all women hold that view?
Uh-huh.
And just submit to that, when that can make women feel inferior as well.
True.
And so that's like looking at our beliefs solely from the perspective of a male. And as your wife stated earlier, she believes she's chosen to read a book that men are, you're saying that you believe that, you know, it's a man's world and there, but it would be nothing without women. But she's
so
saying that's your lens, you mm-hmm. know, and so that's kind of the conversation of today, which has already, you know, been heated. But we each have our own lens. And my goal for today is for us to be able to, you know, state what we believe, but hear each other as well.
Right. And I think it's important that we hear each other and then get the different perspective, because other people, as you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. before we went on air, is that other people have the same sentiments.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone needs to hear from each one of the mm-hmm. People in the studio,
mm-hmm.
because each one have their own lenses,
right.
as you used the word. And that is so true. It's dependent on how we're looking at things, or how our experiences from our past
mm-hmm.
that brings up, you know, what we feel and think today.
Mm-hmm. Now, Amy, you have a comment. Do you still want to say your comment?
I don't remember what I was going to say.
Okay. Sharon?
Well, I just want to say that it's been a pretty rough day today. I am 74 years old, and I've been told my whole life, sit down, shut up. It's not your turn to talk. It's never your turn to talk. And I'm emotionally raw right now. And I have had to be submissive to the male opinion, the male voice, my whole life. And I have had it. I won't do it anymore. I will not sit still and let a man talk over me or let a man's opinion be accepted as what it is that I have to abide by. I was just in a meeting a while ago where I was trying to explain something that I happened to know about, and I was told I was out of order.
Oh, wait. No, you undercut yourself just then. Something that you happen to know about. Let's try something you have 36 years professional experience working with.
Let's try that as what it actually was.
And
I get no respect. I get no respect from men. I get no respect largely from a lot of women. And I'm tired of it. And the attitude that the Bible says the man is the head of the household, or the man is, that the woman is supposed to be respectful to the man, I've just had it. You know, I've taken care of myself basically my whole life, ever since I left my parents' home, and I've taken care of three husbands basically. So, you know, I'm very raw on this subject, and if somebody would like to call in from the outside world, it might be a good break. 816-931-5534.
Well, I remember what I was going to say, and that's the point of control, and this is why, you know, this is why people think when you say concerns you mean fears. This is why. Because women have been controlled. Women have been controlled for centuries. Women have been controlled for millennia. And when women come to equality, a lot of men look at that as, now the roles are going to reverse. Now we're going to be controlled. Now they're going to want to get what they didn't have for all these years. It's not women who are saying that. It's not women who are saying, we want to subjectify you. We want to put you down for the next century.
Subjectify or even objectify.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. That's a fear that men have. And it's, well, it's a justified fear, because if we were talking about a patriarchal system, if we were maintaining a patriarchal system in all of this, then logically women would want their turn to dominate and control and to... and to put down.
And that's not what they want. We would be raping men and killing husbands and girlfriends.
I'm glad you said that, because this is basically what I'm beginning to see. Because it's like, you know, we're now, and I'm speaking from the perspective of what you, your views are, now we're up here. Now we're getting ready to put you down as men. And a lot of women are feeling that and thinking the same thing, but you, it may not be in certain people's mind or their thoughts, but there are some women that literally believe that if we get our fair share, me and you are going to go sit in the back seat. You know, this type of a... She just said...
I think you're projecting that, and I think it's based on the fact that you recognize that men have done that to women systematically.
I'm not negating that.
The women I know aren't saying, oh boy, I can't wait till we're 50-50, because then we're going to show them.
Yeah.
We're going to rape them. We're going to pillage them. We're going to...
Men are going to feel unsafe walking the streets. Men are going to have to take back the night marches. Men are going to have to have
bake sales to raise money for the churches.
And men are going to be asked to take notes at every meeting that they go to.
For the listening audience, Melvin is scratching his head.
No, that is not what I feel, you know, that men are going to take bake sales and stuff like that.
Oh, I know you don't. You're afraid. You're not going to do that. But women do that.
Yeah.
Women do that right
sure,
now.
Sure, sure.
We're the subservient ones. We're the ones that are the servers.
Well, it's just a natural order of things. It's the DNA that is in a woman to take that lead in that area of bake sales. if you will, because it's in, you know, there's like a man does certain things and think a certain way. The woman thinks a certain way, like, you know, let's have a bake sale.
Okay, I had a friend. I had a really good friend who gave me a really good guide of how to tell if something's within the male sphere or the female sphere, if you're thinking in that terms. And the first question you ask yourself is, do you do this with your genitals? And then, you know, if the answer is yes, then probably it's not a good fundraiser. Like, you know, that's kind of the way that you tell if there's a need for the women to take something over or the men. So and she's a professor of sociology. She does gender studies, and I just really loved that because it does make you pause. The DNA does cause certain physical differences. Sure. It does not create an innate ability, desire, or skill in baking.
No.
And a matter of fact, you know, when I get particularly hungry for something tasty, when I get hungry, I've tried to bake before, and it's hilarious. I'm not a baker. I can't do it, you know.
Well, one of the things that I was thinking about is, and I'm going to ask and hope that a man would call in at 816-931-5534.
He needs help bad.
No, that was not what I'm thinking, is that, you know, that men is going to go through a bake sale, or that it's a put down if a woman does a bake sale. That's not the point I'm trying to make. What I'm making is the fact that you have, and we all have different DNAs in order to make us think the way we think.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And so I wouldn't want women to literally just overtake. I mean, it's already happening. Is the football games, and, you know, am I saying this?
Yeah, Melvin, I do have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on your interpretation of the Bible and mm-hmm. And your belief that it's God's view that the man is the head and the woman, and then there's the one, you know, there's God, there's man, and then there's the woman, is essentially kind of what you said.
Right.
Is that correct? Would you want to be a woman?
Would I want to be? No.
Yeah. So I'm saying, if you heard that, here is the order of things. There's.
Yeah, and say you don't have a gender right now. You're not either one right now.
I'm not saying, Melvin. That's what I'm saying. If you heard someone say that God is the head, then there's the man, then there's the woman, and based on this conversation and some of the beliefs that you have, would you want to be a woman?
No, not at all. It's just what I was saying about God being head mm-hmm. and man and then woman. It's just the structure of our universe. That's basically not from a man's view or perspective, because even in our universe, there is an order of things. And I think that we miss that order, and I don't want it to sound male, and I know you're going to take that as a male chauvinist statement.
No,
but it's
I just
not.
Want to ask
Go
you
ahead.
Why you wouldn't want to be a woman if that's the natural
because
order.
Because I like what I am
well,
today.
I would like being a man too, I bet,
yeah,
but I've never wanted to be one.
Right, that's where I stand. I wouldn't want to be a woman.
Maybe I should want to be a man. I just want to be equal to a man. I want to be respected like a man.
Right.
Well, yeah, and I mean, honestly, go ahead and try to tell me what to do. Anyone listening, really, I'm like, let's just go ahead and see how that goes. But one of the questions that I wanted to ask is, you know, you talk about natural order, and you're talking about what women do, and you're talking about what men do. And I think one of the things that a lot of times also is not looked at is what you're telling men.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because are you telling men, like, well, you can't be nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't love.
That's
you can't cook for the people who care who you care for.
You can't make their beds.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying, because they are more.
But can you see where maybe that's what they would hear?
That are nurturers.
Yeah,
and that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, we're not just male, and it's just not female, because you know there's a side of a nature of all of us. There's a man nature in you. There's a part, you know, as they say, for a man, get in touch with your female side, you know, those kinds of things. And so go ahead.
We do have a caller.
Oh, great. I hope it's a man.
It is. caller, you're on the air. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Tim. I'm calling from St. Joseph.
Hi, Tim.
Hey.
And go ahead with your comment.
So I would like to throw a particular man's name into the argument, only because this is the guy I'm most familiar with. His name is Noam Chomsky.
Oh.
One of his things he discusses is a thing called manufactured consent, which is the idea that huge controversies or pastimes are thrown out there to occupy all our time. And I think this particular thing, which Donald Trump has made big waves about, and all, really occupies time which we could be spent talking about class and the fact that men and women should be working together in order to bring sustainability and community, all those really valuable things to our world. And one of the things that's discussed a lot, like right now in the third world, in the southern hemisphere, women are taking the role of fighting for our planet. Where are the men who are fighting for our planet, which right now is one of the greatest things to try to fight for? I think if men took up some of these issues which are of most value, where is the Martin Luther King in our time?
Do you feel sometimes that when you have causes that seem to be designated in the female sphere, and read my air quotes here, mm-hmm. Does that kind of offend you as a man, that this is my work and that I'm validated by believing and working towards this, and that I don't think that my gender should come into question because of what I do?
I just think that all those things, what you're discussing right now, gets blurred. You know, the fight for human values gets blurred in all these other discussions. I think that, for example, one of the reasons Bernie Sanders didn't succeed was because so many people stood behind Hillary simply because she was a woman and they were behind her 100%. Right now, the women are being killed in Honduras because they're trying to stand up against corporate mining concerns and the like. These are women who are heroic. They're taking on. I'd like to know what the gentleman there thinks of these women who are at Standing Rock in Central America, in Argentina, in all these various places where they've taken on the mantle of defending human life and Mother Earth. And
thanks for that call, for that comment, because what you said was my sentiment as well, in terms of men not stepping up to the plate and being in the place where women have made that march and gotten to that point where men should have been, and they're not. And I think I made mention of that early in the broadcast, or it was just before we went on air, that, and yes, I commend women that are stepping up, doing what they're doing, being on Standing Rock and on the front line. And somebody has to do it, and I wish there had been more men at Standing Rock, standing on that front line. But no, I don't have any problems with the women doing what they're doing. It's just that, you know, I feel a little bad that men are sitting back and the women are moving forward. And that's what I'm thinking.
Don't you think you need to be a little bit careful about invoking God-given hierarchies and orders of things? Because I teach in an urban school.
Mm-hmm.
And I teach in a place where young men are very comfortable putting their hands on young women. And young women tend to think that's just kind of a part of things, and they have to physically respond to this. And it's that hierarchy that you're talking about, which, in fact,
propagates Donald Trump's.
In a marriage, one of the things when I was growing up, a kid could get most in trouble for was if they asked one parent, and then they ran to the other to ask if they got a no, because there's an equality there. And I think if we anytime we stray away from ideas of equality, we get into a really dangerous
situation. And you're right, Carla, because I think that we're so out of line and so out of order that these things with the Donald Trump mentality and what is being pushed now, that men can dominate a woman in a negative way. And you know, that's something that, you know, I'm definitely against.
I gotta interrupt you again, though, because you just said can dominate in a negative way, which implies there's a positive way to.
I love you, Tim.
Yeah, you actually completely read my mind.
I mean, there's a thing my ex used to use, an expression, logical fallacies, and I think in this day and age, my ex, I love her, but in this day and age, it's really important to realize what pathways we go down that reinforce things that are old and tired. One of the reasons the women didn't get the vote for so long was because it was decided at one time that it was more important to fight for the Emancipation Proclamation than women's rights. And there was big disagreement at that time. So we continue to have these moments in history where various oppressed peoples disagree about the order of things in the agenda of human rights. And there's a UN Declaration of Human Rights, which the U.S. is yet to embrace. All these various things where people are in protected positions and they won't stand with the line of humanity against a dialectic or whatever it is that oppresses people in general. And so thinking about where we are and what the real enemy is, that's what we need to come together to do.
Well, and you know, when you first started talking, Tim, I heard the language of, I don't want to be a feminist, why can't we all be humanists, which is kind of... it's aggravating to a feminist because it's basically saying we're not going to fix what's happening to you right now. We're just going to pretend it's not happening at all. But as you've continued talking, you sound more like an intersectional feminist who sees that, yes, there are problems with women being put down, but that there's also problems with police shooting black men. And there's problems with the government attacking Native America. Mm-hmm. And there's problems with immigration and international issues. There's problems with the environment. And so that is one of the things that has been a challenge for feminism, is because you can't get one without – it's like you can't get it without fixing everything. And it's also been where I've seen feminists rise to the occasion. I mean, I don't think there's anyone here in this room where the only thing they do is, let's talk about women. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, Tim, for calling in and joining a part of the conversation. We appreciate you supporting KKFI.
And women.
And yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And schools. I mean, he sounds like a great guy.
Yeah. And the environment. Yeah.
And thanks for the help.
Yeah. Thank you. Took the heat off him for a bit.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
And just to remind everyone, our phone number is 816-931-5534. This is going to be one of our most infamous programs, and I think you should get the opportunity to participate.
It is. And with that, we are going to take a station break, and we will be back talking with Melvin Merritt and the Every Woman crew on Feminist Fears. And Melvin wants to say concerns, but we'll say both.
Because it's not masculine to be joking.
She cleared that up with fears.
On the next Making Contact, Women Rising Radio takes us inside the movement for nuclear disarmament to meet the women on the front lines of the fight for a future free of nuclear weapons. From the U.S. to Russia, the U.K., Israel, the Marshall Islands, and Japan, these dedicated advocates make the case for returning to the Non-Proliferation Treaty and fulfilling its mandate. Hear their stories Thursday afternoon at 12:30.
October 18 is the deadline for U.S. citizens in Kansas to register to vote November 8. The Missouri deadline has already passed. If you've moved, you must re-register at your new address. Registered voters in Kansas should check their status on the website of their county election office, because Kansas reportedly has programs to remove names from the voter rolls. This message is a public service of 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio.
Okay, and we are back, and we do have a caller on the air. Caller, are you there? Can you state your name and where you're calling from?
Yeah, this is Sandy. I'm calling actually from Interstate 70.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Driving through. I've been listening, and I've never done this before, and I fear I won't be as articulate as Tim was.
That's okay.
And I would like to say I love Tim. But, yeah,
he was a real shocker. We like that.
Yeah. I have a problem, too, with invoking God. And I have nothing against religious people or anything. I've always been a secularist myself. But, you know, I think that when you bring religion into some of these issues, that it tends to always go towards the man. And I can remember thinking, I don't know if I read this, I must have read it somewhere, that way back in the caveman era, you know, that women were quite powerful because they were the hunter-gatherers and they could make the medicines from the things they found. And so they would, you know, have these brews that they made, medicinal brews. And that's where the term witch and hag came from, is when these women shaman really were really powerful in their clans. And when Christianity then came through and people, I mean, they killed off all these villages and made the images of the witch, you know, hovering over her witch's brew, as a way of diminishing women's roles, I think. And anyway, that was, I guess, one point. I'm not as articulate as Tim was.
No, thanks for that.
No, and that is a really good point. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, something that, you know, you describe yourself as a secularist. I know that as a kid, when I was trying to look at what religion was and look what religion could do in my life, I saw myself as subjugated, so I tried to go to another religion. I tried to look at Buddhism. Oh, well, guess what? It's a punishment to be a woman there in Hinduism, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, you get into these obscure texts, and I know that that's not, I'm not going to classify everyone who practices any of these faiths as misogynistic, because I am in a Christian faith, and it's just as misogynistic as all of them, but at some point you come to, all right, am I going to have some of my own inner peace and tranquility and take that for myself, and just know that I am not participating in what was obviously the work of men in these books. When they tried to write into the dominance, they wrote it across the board, they wrote it in all these texts, and it was the work of human men. Mm-hmm. And that is the only way that I think I could ever reconcile my self-respect as a human being with spirituality.
Yeah, caller, I just wanted to say, I was only, and when I bring in things like there's God, man, and then there's woman, and that was only from out of my own perspective, but it wasn't to try to...
I absolutely respect that. I mean, I don't mean to denigrate religion in any way. It's just not for me. But I think that's a lot of the problem in the world today, though. I mean, when you look at the women's role in Islam, mm-hmm. and a lot of these religions, I mean, it's a lot of it is putting women down. Mm-hmm. I mean, women are unclean. They're, you know, horrible creatures, it seems like. But anyway, that was...
Yeah, it was a very good point. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know it's scary the first time, but do it again. It'll get easier.
Do call in. Yeah. We need more women calling in.
And I think that the main thing is that, you know, certain words that are used and is taken to the point where women are put down or unclean, and that's not what it meant from what I've learned out of that, which you just quoted. It doesn't mean necessarily that the woman is unclean. It was just a perspective that when they wrote that, and it meant something, but it wasn't meant that for the woman to be put down or being nasty, for lack of a better word.
Well, I believe it was meant that way.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I think it was too.
Yeah, women are absolutely. Women are icky because they bleed. Yeah, they will tell you that if you're a woman, if you try to walk into a spiritual place that's of great significance, if you're out traveling or something like that, they will say you can't come in here, and you say why not? And it's like, well, because women bleed, and they will say that to you.
Yeah. Well, we know that that's what it meant, you know, but it wasn't like a put down. Of a woman, just because that she, as you use the word, as she bleeds, you know, because it wasn't necessary. That is part of the order of things, if you will.
That I want to. Oh yeah, Sandy.
Sandy, I'm on the road. I really shouldn't be calling anybody.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for calling.
You take care.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
I told you. You and your wife decided. For her to, about not sitting in, but when you say that, do you feel for yourself, but if you were that woman, how that would feel to you? If there were so many verses or so much context that put you into kind of like a box, like someone, and it wasn't even from your own perspective, it was from someone else's perspective that put you into this little box, and they were telling you these are the things you need to do and this is how you need to be, and it wasn't even from someone who considered themselves you, it was someone else. It would be the same thing, I think, even when Amy brought up intersectional feminism, it would be the same thing for me, or I think anybody else, if a white person were trying to tell me how to be black, or to tell me this is what being black means and this is what you need to do, which by the way has been done, but it's so, is it not the same thing when it comes to your interpretation, as you have stated, of the scriptures, and the number of things that come up that says, it's basically like saying, well, this is the way women can and can't participate. And oh, it, by the way, it's not a negative thing or it's not a put down, but somehow it does put the woman in an inferior position. And I'm not saying inferior, even...
No offense, but I don't want you to participate. No offense, but you can't do this.
But, you know, back to what you were saying about, you know, how would I feel?
Mm-hmm.
Because even out of my own life experience, that sometimes I have experienced the put in the box,
mm-hmm.
and that's being a man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't have to be a woman to get into that box where people will place you in a box. And I know exactly what you're talking about if it mm-hmm. was the reverse role,
mm-hmm.
and how would I feel? No, I didn't feel good. Mm-hmm. About, you know, being put in a box or somebody telling you what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us would, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that when I experienced that and felt that, that, you know, I wasn't happy about it, but people, in spite of, will try to put you in a box, regardless of whether you're female or male. But it's you that have to be strong enough to stand up and know who you are.
You know, I had one of those moments today where sometimes, and I'm sure you've all felt this, maybe not Melvin, where I go, this is why I'm a feminist, right? my son told me today that he got laughed at school because he was using a pink crayon. Mm. Now, I mean, I feel like we should take a step back and think about what that is.
Yeah.
Why should someone be ashamed of a crayon?
God, he's 5 years
old. He's 5 years old, and his friends made fun of him for using a pink crayon. Do we really want to? I don't want that box around my kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I don't. I also don't want to see that box around all those little girls that are in his class right now.
A 5-year-old already has learned that pink is a sissy color. Pink is for girls.
Yeah.
A 5-year-old already.
And I mean, it just really bothered me, especially because what he said was he was laughed at.
Yeah.
Which is a very strong social ostracization tool for a 5-year-old. And, you know, I don't want him to be put in that box. And I don't want to see all those little girls that are in his class with him that are basically told that if their favorite color is not pink, that they're not really mm-hmm. girls. I mean, that is so repressive.
I think that's something to go to the teacher about something. I think that's horrible.
What it brings up for me is just as Melvin, just part of what you were saying is something that I've grown up with. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily like how it felt, but I thought, oh, this is just how it is. And so that was a part of me, like, wanting to you to say what you know, just state your opinion, because so many people have that, and they don't even, I didn't even feel it was an opinion. Like, I literally felt like this is just the truth. Like, this is the truth. It's, you know, my family believes it. It's in the Bible. This is what the preacher says at church. That's what it is. I didn't think I was a bad person for believing it. I didn't even, you know, it was like, even though it may not have felt good, that's just how I felt about it. However, there does come a point to question. I think there does come a point where we start to question and challenge some of our previously held beliefs. And if we don't, I don't see how we really move forward at all of us, you know, what I mean?
And that's a good point, too, because speaking of just a person being a black man mm-hmm. and being put in a box, or, you know, like what Martin Luther King say, that you're going to be judged from your character, you know, and the content of your character, rather. Mm-hmm. And you can still feel that box feeling where somebody looks or view you less than.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing that the mm-hmm. women are talking about today, mm-hmm. that they feel less than.
Mm-hmm.
And me being a black man, that I feel the same way, which I understand a person being less than or feeling less than or not having that opportunity to be who they are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stepping up and being just as equal as another human,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we all people. And so, yes, I get that. You know, when women say, you know, what if you were in that other role?
Right.
You know, I'm already, in a sense, in that role, but just mm-hmm. not being a female.
It's the color of your skin.
It's the color of my skin. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that is one thing, though, when you're talking about women and women wanting to free themselves from the oppression of society that's just built in. Women genuinely love their oppressors. They don't try to love their oppressors. Mm-hmm. They're really their family. Mm-hmm. They're actually their family. They're actually the people that they love and care for and adore and would not want to hurt for anything else in the world. And so that's why, you know, you say things that support oppression of women, and we say, look, we understand. We love you. And it's because women genuinely do care. We genuinely do care for so many of the people who perpetuate the oppression that it's challenging, because inside we do want to scream and say that you know, you hate us and I'm done with you and get over it and I'm not participating in this anymore. But the reality is that we're going to show our love too. Mm-hmm. And I think that is mm-hmm. probably something you can mm-hmm. absolutely see yeah. Reflected, mm-hmm. Ebony. And
you know something I just thought of, which I haven't said it for a while. Not the last time I said it, but racism and sexism are the same thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
for me to sit here with a black man and me a white woman, and I'm like, how can you say women are supposed to take a back seat?
I'm not saying that.
I mean, how can you not look at me and say we are equals?
Absolutely. I'm not, you know, I didn't want it to get it or people taking the view that I'm saying that a woman is supposed to stand behind me. You know, that's not what I'm saying. I think that we are, as humans, are equal in that sense. Only thing what I was mentioning that, you know, that I really believe out of my own experience and only my own biblical experience, if you will, that there is an order, you know, of certain things. Doesn't mean that you're supposed to be stepping in the back. It means that you enhance one another in the things that we do. You understand what I'm saying? We enhance one another, but not in the point of I know what lane, and excuse me for using that word, but I know what lane that I'm supposed to be in, and vice versa.
I don't know what lane I'm supposed to be in. I'm going to drive where I want to drive.
You know? And she will, too.
Only one thing I'm trying to say is that, you know, we have expertise, like what you were talking about, you know, mm-hmm. why would I want to get into the area of what you know so well? But we can complement each other in terms of what I'm doing. That's the only reason, only way I'm talking about in terms of order, you know, opposed to stepping on each other's toes.
I'll make this statement. For me, I understood equality when I realized that God was both masculine and feminine,
mm-hmm.
not just masculine.
No.
And I'm just speaking from my, just my own experience when it no longer became, and some people say, and I think sometimes it's just even the same for, I'm a black woman as well. And so it's just the same as saying, oh, well, you know, it really doesn't matter if you use the term he or she. Well, if it doesn't matter, then let's use both of them, or let's just use it, or, you know, or
that's
none.
A good point.
You know, or it, none.
Yeah.
If it doesn't matter. And then to me, even speaking on the same subject, because like you said, you can understand that as a black man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if it doesn't matter, then why don't we show more black men? Why don't we show more black, you know, black, if it doesn't matter?
Right.
So, but it does
but
matter.
It does.
It does.
Yeah.
So to say that it doesn't is to ignore the point of seeing and I'm not taking away from it being a sacred text, but seeing the Bible as always referring to God as he. It is subconscious to keep saying he,
absolutely.
he
yeah.
and
absolutely.
Never saying she. And so what I'm saying, and even to Amy's point about her son and the pink crayon, to understand that we are both masculine and feminine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even to say
and feminine's not the F word.
Right.
It's okay. That's
yes.
a good quality.
Yeah. Yes. And that we all have them. And so that's kind of, for me, that's that culmination of kind of what I grew up with and where I am now, is that understanding of, if we always see it as, well, you're just one or the other instead of both, and that's where we lose the equality. For us to see our source as, if I say the source of where all things have come from is masculine, then if you're the source, how did the feminine get there?
Right. But
if you're the source of all things, isn't all things masculine and feminine and fit equally? So one of my favorite definitions is that a woman is a strong, equal power.
Mm-hmm.
equal pat. Maybe there. I'm not knocking that there aren't differences. There are differences in us as well. But we're. But that doesn't make you less inferior than. Or superior. Yeah. It's strong equal power.
And that's a good point, because there's somewhere in what I believe in that big, big book that says there's no Greek or mm-hmm. Gentiles. There's mm-hmm. no difference in between us. So, but I was thinking about, you know, where you was talking about that male and female, mm-hmm. that female, well, then why is it just female mm-hmm. and male? And why is it not a distinction between the two mm-hmm. opposed to necessarily the equal mm-hmm. and not negating the fact that we are to be together as humans, mm-hmm. but yet we are different in so many different makeups. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically what I'm saying. There's already a distinction way back when, you know, and during the creation of man. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, a lot of what
creation of human?
Human.
I do have a question for Ebony, though, what you were talking about, and being a black woman, and, you know, do you sometimes feel that you have to pick which hat you're wearing for a conversation? Like, who you're supporting? What you're.
Since you said that, I guess I do in a way. I probably have in more ways than I've really maybe thought of consciously. But you know, there is the angry black woman, the, you know, kind of all of those things. Mm-hmm. And what do I believe? And even having this conversation, with my family, like I said, I understand where Melvin is coming from, and I understand where she, you know, because I feel like I'm on both
right.
sides of the conversation, and neither person is feeling like they're being hateful or trying to put the other person down. But it's
not at all.
But that's, I do feel like that's a point of, it can be a point of conflict, but also a point of peace, where it's like, okay. I can see both of them. But I guess at the same, to be more direct to your question, Amy, yeah, I do sometimes feel like maybe I have to pick and choose, but then sometimes I feel like I'm just going to say what I honestly believe at that moment, and however that shakes down, it shakes down.
That's it.
You know, the way you said that made it just seem like a very powerful position to be in, as far as healing goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of understanding, a lot of very good blend of perspectives that helps people maybe come together. And just the way you said it, just you right then, it sounded like a really strong position to approach these conversations from.
Yeah. I would give a nickel against 100 if your husband would call in. And weigh in on this conversation. I really would.
Well, she might give a nickel against the husband. If your wife would weigh in on you.
My wife is sitting right over there. And,
my husband had to mow the lawn today. It was his only opportunity, his only window in like the last 3 weeks.
Are you saying he might not be listening right now?
Probably not. I mean, he's got to mow that lawn.
And it's getting too late. We have to close out here.
We are
quick.
Coming to the close. I mean, if any, we'll take maybe one more caller. If we have a caller, 816-931-5534, 816-931-5534. We are sitting here with Melvin Merritt talking about feminist fears and just
all
kind
concerns.
Of our concerns.
I would like to ask a question though to you, Melvin.
Sure.
Have you learned something today?
Definitely. Most definitely I have learned something. And I know that there's still an order of things. No.
He got a look.
No, I've enjoyed this. I really have. You know,
I heard you conflicted when you were talking. I would hear you talking one way and then turning around and saying it the opposite way. Did anybody mm-hmm. else hear that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the reason why it came across like that is that I do deeply feel that there is a equalness, you know, among male and female. However, I still feel that there's an order of things where it becomes male or head, man and then woman, but not in the sense that the woman walks behind. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying that.
Then why is it important? Is it important for your belief to believe in the Bible as the Word of God? I believe it was the Word of Man, written 2,000 years ago, translated in 2,000 languages. There's no way.
Well, it did state that 40 different men did write that book, and I believe that. And but that was just a fact that.
And if 40 different women had written the book, I bet it would have read totally differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I actually I want to challenge you, Melvin, to think on this a little bit. I think the reason why some of your answers came off as conflicted is because we challenged you to actually think about how these notions that are genuinely internalized, not just in you, but in a lot of the society, made you think about how they actually played out and how you would feel if put in the same position and what that balance between, I actually respect you, I actually want you to be happy as a human being, I actually value you, and I think you fit into this very narrow notion that has been ingrained in you and many people, and even Ebony talked about being raised with it. That, to me, was the conflict. That conflict of, yes, I do love and respect you all, and does this actually mean love and respect? You know what I'm saying?
I really do.
You know, that's a powerful thing for everybody to kind of meditate on. Like, where do they conflict, and are they irreconcilable? Because for many of us, they have become that way.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I respect you as a woman. And
I believe that. That's why I really think there's a conflict.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's not a conflict. It's definitely not a conflict. But what it is that, you know, I love women. And it's not to the point where, you know, that I disrespect you. It's just that I understand, because like I mentioned, that I'm a black man that is put in a box to feel less than. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons why it was conflicting when I was saying what I was saying, because I feel that same way as a black person.
And I hear you.
That's that's what Amy is saying. And we do need to. But I do want to say that that's what Amy is saying. And that was one of my my challenges is, well, what do I mean when I say love and respect? And maybe I need to take a look at, what do I mean when I say that? And what does that really mean? But thank you. Thank you, everyone, because we could actually keep going on this conversation, but we do have more shows coming up. And we do thank you so much, Melvin.
Thank you for
having
me. Thank
you for having me.
And thank you for the callers.
And the callers. Yeah. And Sharon.
Pretty brave of Melvin to come on. And I know Ebony felt, I just run him over the rails before this show, and Ebony felt so protective of him.
Well, I wanted us to hear each other. That was kind of my biggest thing, because I could. A lot of people feel the way we all feel, each person. So I wanted that to kind of come across. But thank you, everybody, for the conversation and listening today.
And if you want to continue making comments on that, you can comment on our Facebook page, Every Woman KKFI 90.1 FM.
Thank you for that, Amy. Yeah. Please stay tuned. We do have coming up next Urban Connections with Donna Wolf, and then later Guess Who's Coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson. Thank you for tuning into the Every Woman Show here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Have a great weekend, everybody.